Okay, so I was having some thoughts kind of, I thought was just kind of for me to meditate on, but apparently not so much that I share. So this is not aimed at you, this is really actually was starting with me, but if that can be a challenge and a help, I hope it will be. So I want to talk about tonight, life's backpack, and so that's why I have quite a few backpacks up here, in case you were concerned that I'm starting to be a bag lady. I am. I had to have a bag for each child and Chris and, you know, everybody, so. But many times I thought about over the years, and I wanted to start, and I thought I'd have somebody do it, and I thought, well, I don't want to make someone put a rock in their shoe, because that's not very comfortable. But I started out with thinking about many times of the years, and I'm sure all of you have experienced that. You're walking along, and you get a rock in your shoe. And you become a little stubborn, and you're like, oh, it'll be fine. And you keep walking, and you keep walking, and you're like, it's not so much fine. It really hurts. Or it just keeps moving, and it hurts different places. And it's usually small, so you're like, it's really dumb. This really tiny rock is bothering my foot so very much. But no matter how small it is, it's usually not too long before you're like, all right, I got to take a break, take my shoe off, and take care of this. And so I read a story about two young men that were, I think they were hiking or something, and one got a rock in his shoe. Well, they both got a rock in their shoe. And then one decided he was older gentleman, he was going to stop and get it out. And the young man was very impatient with him about it. We've got to go. We're on a schedule. You've got to just, you know, toughen up. Come on. He said, no, I'm going to take the time. I will be better, and I will go quicker with this rock out of my shoe. So the young man says, fine, I'm going on without you. It wasn't long. The older man's caught up with him. And then the younger man starts getting slower and slower and slower. And the older man's like, I think I told you so, right? And he had to stop and take it off. By this time, it had rubbed a spot that had been bleeding in his foot. So the lesson learned there was, oh, maybe we should have took care of it way back when it was just a little bothersome. Instead of waiting, now we are delayed because you've got an injury and no rock, and so we're walking even slower. And so I thought about that sometimes, you know, and I thought sometimes too, we could have someone walk in, and if I had that illustration, and we may not know they had a rock on their shoe, and we may be like, why are they being so dramatic, right? Why are they limping or just like trying to get attention? They're being so, walking so odd, right? We don't know they have a rock on their shoe. And so that, what do they always say about the Indian? Don't, you know, something about his moccasins. So you've walked a mile in his moccasins because he must have had a rock on his shoe. So, and I read a quote that I thought was so good. It's not the mountain, I think it's from Muhammad Ali actually. It's not the mountains ahead of you that's what's going to tire you out or wear you down. It's that rock in your shoe. It's that little pebble in your shoe. And I think we all can look at the same thing, the same angle, and we all experience it so differently. And so I kind of wanted to kind of hit that a little bit tonight. I know I've talked about it before, about perspectives, and how just because, you know, one person has a rock on their shoe doesn't mean they're weaker than somebody else. You know, everybody has their own life experiences leading up to that moment. And so some of them are built up too. Some of us are built with higher pain tolerance, so maybe the rock in the shoe, we could go a little longer. And others are like, wow, I can't handle nothing, and that really hurts. That would be me. Well, I like to think I have a high pain tolerance, but I don't think so much. So I want to think about since COVID last year. I mean, life has changed as we know it in the world. Unfortunately, some not so good changes, and some things we feel like are never going to get back to normal. We're just like, my goodness, what year is this going to ever be back to normal? And so we've had plans canceled and events canceled. And my husband was on a Zoom call with an event that they were trying to plan again this year. And they're, well, we're going to cancel it because of this and that and the other. And people are scared. And so we, you know, you become more homebound. There's nothing to do. They've canceled the Ohio State Fair again. They've canceled this. They canceled that, right? There's nothing to do. We're all homebound and we're isolated. And then get away from people. Don't get close to people. So we've become very isolated and had little people in interaction. And so then you add all this, well, the worry about COVID. So when we first had it, everybody was like scared to death about it. And then as people start having it and we're like, okay, it's not as horrible as, you know, the picture they're painting. We found some more things about it. And then we had the mask that really got people up in arms about it. Then we had people that was hoarding the toilet paper because they were just, I don't know what their problem was about that. But then that made other people agitated, like, seriously, right? And so it became easy to get agitated. Like, oh my goodness, I went to the store for the 15th time and they don't have toilet paper. I mean, what in the world? And so you start getting agitated really easily. And you're home bound and you want to get out of the house and you can't go nowhere. So it was very easy to get agitated. And if you were on social media at any time during this last year and a half, you could see people were agitated. You were like, "Woo, they are a little salty today and yesterday and the day before and still today," right? And I'd read some comments and I'm like, "Chris, oh my goodness, listen to this." He's like, "Stop reading the comments. You know, it's an addiction. I have to read the comments. I don't know." But I'm like, "Oh my goodness, I never thought this person would be spewing this hate about something." And so there was a few that I had to go and be like, "I think we need to just kind of close your feed off for a little bit, because that's not really what I need to be hearing." But it was people that you really didn't know or that you thought you knew, and they're like, "Wow, they're really passionate in a bad way about these things." And so I've tried, since I was aware of some of this stuff, to make a really effort to not just be such a grumpy, because it's very easy to get to that. So this is really for me. But we have a tendency to believe the bad over the good. And I actually did a little research on that. And there's something with your cortisol that if something bad happens, it's actually that fight, flee thing, the three Fs, that comes into, oh, danger, danger, danger. And so you kind of react because it's negative. So that just kicks into overdrive. So that I thought that was really interesting, because I'm like, why do we always believe the negative? Like, you could tell me 16 good things that happened today and one negative, I'd be like, "Oh, the day is just a wash. You know, I can't believe that happened, the whole horrible day." Why that one thing upset the whole thing? Well, you just get like in this frenzy about it. And so, you know, you see that that's an easy thing to do. So it's really kind of an effort to like not say the whole day went down the tubes because, you know, we had the temper tantrum from the toddler today. So it's really, really hard, and you have to really work on it. And I'm trying. So as I get, this is for me. But it doesn't mean like just because you have compassion for someone that's ranting about this that you're like, "Oh, well, she's siding with them." No, there's always a backstory to things that's going on. And that's what we're going to get to about our backpacks. There's always a backstory. So in Sunday school, we're doing the fifth grade girls, and we're doing the Sunday school lessons of the Christian Toolbox, which I'm sure a couple of you have been through a couple of times probably. And so just like a toolbox, which you guys know more about than I do, the guys that work in the cars, every tool in that toolbox is necessary. You don't just go through and start pitching them out. "I don't need them. I don't need them." If I did that to my husband's toolbox, "I don't think he needs this," it might get a little problematic when he needs that tool that I've thrown out because I didn't think he needed it, right? So every tool in the box is important. Same thing with the Christian toolbox. That's why the lessons are all there. Every single one of them is important. So the one we did last week was about fellowship. And it really just kind of stuck out to me more so when I did this one, about that we share a common goal. So we come from all different walks of life, all different ages, all different cities, all different, I don't think states, I think we all stay in the same state, but all cities, different areas, to one common goal, which is salvation, learning about God, worshiping God, praising God. And we all come from different walks of life, but we've come this, and in the lesson it said that a lot of people have quit coming to church because they feel like they don't have that common ground with people anymore. Which is alarming, because if you're going to church you don't have a common ground with, your common ground should be salvation. So either the church has got some problems, or maybe you have got some problems that you're not having anything in common with the saints anymore. But we should have that all. And it was talking about how you have this major, what was the word they used? Strive. We strive to make it a priority for church. And I think I brought in the lesson last week. There was no excuses growing up at our house. Even if you were sick, mom, like, "Let's pray about it. Okay, good. We feel better. Let's go." And we went to church, you know. Pretty much, you know, we joke. It would be like, "You go throw up and then we'll go to church," you know. It wasn't quite that bad. She wasn't that mean. But we went. It was a priority. There was nothing that we were going to miss church for. And so now thinking about how we need to strive, and you're becoming to be your own person. Some of you have already graduated from high school. Some of you have already graduated from college, and you're becoming your own person. Mom and dad's not, hopefully, not knocking on your door, "Get up, it's Sunday morning." Hopefully at this point you've got a little routine of your own going on, and it's your, what you're putting in, your strong desire, your willingness to be like, "I gotta get up, you know, I stayed up too late last night." Mom's not gonna be like, "Go to bed at 9 o'clock so you can get up Sunday morning," because, you know, she's like, "You're a big boy and a big girl now, you can do this all by yourself." And so we work diligently and strong. But we can lose this fellowship. I think sometimes we take it for granted because we've just had it all our life. It's all we've known. And Sister Becky talked in Sunday school this morning that God will give every single person in the whole entire world at least one chance to get to know Christ. One. I think we've been given way more than one. And that thought was like, whoa, what if I was that person that was just one? And I wasn't paying attention, or I didn't think it was important. How many opportunities we've had to get to know Christ, and we just take it for granted that we're not that one person that doesn't even know what a Bible is, that doesn't know what church is, besides the holidays that they get, you know, things for. And I thought, wow, I mean, we can really take things for granted, and then we could lose fellowship because we ourselves have gotten grumpy and anger and bitter and letting things beat us down, right? And so then we don't have a lot in common because we're not that negative person that's like, oh, well, it's raining out today and it's cloudy out today and it's, you know, everything's wrong with today, and sister so-and-so wore that same dress last week, and brother so-and-so, he testified the same thing that he testified last week and the week before. And you start to get nitpicky and grumpy, and it's all in yourself that you've gotten. You're kind of losing your fellowship with God, which when you lose your fellowship with one another. So the thought just kept coming to me so strong about, we all have different backpacks given to us at birth. We all have life backpacks. When we're all given one, but no one's identical, because no one in here is identical. And you might have a bestie that you think that you meet every single thing, that you, every point is identical, but it's not. And even if it was, there's still the way you were raised and brought up, and your makeup, your genetics are totally different. So you're going to experience things differently. So, my mother-in-law was talking about a conversation she had with one of the grandkids, and she asked if it was the end of the year they're going to turn their textbooks in. And she's in fifth grade, and she said, what are textbooks? And I'm like, oh, I feel about 1,000 years old. I'm like, textbooks? Because I guess everything's on computer. I'm like, textbooks are the things that we had to carry, that, like, you had a book for every subject, math and science and history and English. And I was always the kid that seemed to be, my classes were never close enough to get to my locker in between. Or I'd get to my locker in between and couldn't get into it, or couldn't get the combination right. So I ended up with every book that I owned in my backpack. And I'm like, oh my word, I'm surprised I'm not hunchback. But so for some reason or other, I always end up with all of my textbooks. So she didn't even know what textbook was. It made me feel very ancient. So we all have different backpacks. So some may have a traumatic event happened. And I thought about, you know, when I was a month shy of being 8, my father passed away. And it was kind of sudden. I mean, he lasted, maybe it was a couple of weeks, I think, from the traumatic, well, you know, something's wrong, he's got an aneurysm, had surgery, and then it was still pretty quick. Now, all of my siblings lost their father. We were all at different stages in our life. My sister Sherry was married, so she experienced it totally different. My sister Tammy was a senior in high school, so she experienced it totally different. Andy and Elena were probably about 16, 14. And then Nick was 3, and I was 8. So we all experienced this totally different. Same event, same family, same bloodline, but we all had different weights of our backpack of how we handled this. How different coping skills. It just depended on what age we were and what place we were in our life. So there's obviously things that get added to our backpack, just everyday living. And then there's illnesses, or there's traumatic events, or death, or an accident, something that's going to be a little bit different in your backpack. So some people get more sick than others. I mean, some just seem like they get the flu a lot, or they have a cold a lot, and some feel like they just never get sick. And I remember an older saint told me one time she had never had a headache. First of all, I was like, that's not even fair. And then second, I can't even fathom that, because I don't even have headaches. I just go straight to migraines now. And I'm like, you've never had a headache? How is that even? Now, wait a minute. So I can't wrap my mind around her, and she can't sympathize with me when I have a bad headache, right? So, I mean, we have different spectrums here and different things. There are some that are very, athletic. You know, I think my son's going to be one. He can climb, and he can do all these things, and you're going to fall. And he doesn't fall. There's others that, like me, just trip over your own feet and fall. You know, you're like, that was awesome, right? There's some of that. There's some that are risk takers that are like, yeah, I'm going to do this really dangerous thing. And there's others that are like, not even close. I think Steve talked about a couple weeks ago, he wants to do base jumping. And I'm like, why? Right? What would even possess you to want to do that? That's his thing, not mine. And that's okay. It's not wrong. There's others, and I always told Brother Chris, we're going to put it on his tombstone. Everything's fine. It's always fine. I said, the house could be on fire or a tornado come in, and you'd say it's fine. Me, I'm worried about the littlest thing. There's a bug on the floor. Please kill it. You know, it's going to be here all night, and I'm not going to sleep. So we're totally different spectrums there. And I told him, I'm on this tombstone, I'm going to say, it was fine. And he was fine. He was fine. He's still fine. So there's some that like to analyze things. And, okay, let's weigh the pros and the cons. You know, there's some that's like, oh, let's make this decision. We're going to do this. And others are like, wait. Let's make a list. Pros and cons of this, how we should do it, what we should do. There's some that are planners. And Sherry talked about how she's very organized and list-oriented. I wish I could be. It just confuses me more. It makes me get less productive. So that's not my thing. So I'm just saying, we'll just go with the flow. What happens, it happens. You know, if we run out of food, it's fine. I should have made a list, right? Some love to travel. That's their thing. They want to get in the car and they want to go. And there's others who are like, I'd rather just be home and my stuff and my surroundings and just there. Some are passionate people about lots of things. So you can be passionate about, well, there's some that's about politics and they're on Facebook too. And there's others that are passionate about a lot of things. Maybe it's music. I mean, there's a lot of good things to be passionate about too, you know. Animals, they want to save the world, save the whales, save the animals, you know. There's some that are very crafty with their hands. They can build things. They can do things. They're very good with that. Others need it more textbook wrote down for them, right? There's some that say, I'll put this bookshelf together and I don't need the instructions. And there's others like, let's study this for a few minutes, right? There's some that love to bake and there's some that's like, let's go to the bakery, right? Different spectrums. We're all built differently. I'm not hating either one. So this is going to kind of bring us to our core thought about the backpacks. And I'm going to share a little bit about, just get a little bit personal on mine. Share my personal experience because that's what I know. So about 4 years ago, so I realized that some of you were not in here 4 years ago. So that seems like a long time ago, but not so much to me again. But I was working at an insurance company for a very, very long time. I was going on 19 years. It was not quite my plan, but somehow it happened. And I had gotten a job that I had worked for, I think I'd done it 9 years. Loved it. Was very good at my job. Loved my job. Loved who I worked with. And then we got the news that they were going to take our job and move it out of state. So since, I'm trying to think where they, Missouri and Pennsylvania was not on my radar to move to, I had to get another job. So, I got another job with this position within the company, and it was a customer service job, one I never really wanted to do. Because customers are mean. They're just mean. And I take it very personal. So, you know, I'd sit with people, and I'm like, how can you not let that, you know, they just screamed at you. You know, they're fine with it. And I'm like, oh, I'd go home and cry. And I always got those calls. Somehow they routed to me always. But, so one thing was totally different is I was on the phone all day. I was not on the phone all day at the job. I was occasionally, but not all day. This, you were like glued to your headset. And I'm a bit of a perfectionist on some things not so much, but so I want to know the answer. I don't want you calling me and asking me something I don't know. That stresses me out. So I was taking notes like feverishly. I was trying to learn and watch people and I wasn't getting it. And so they threw us in 2 weeks of training, and then they said, okay, you're on the phones, and I hope you figure it out. And you're like, sweet, I have no idea what I'm doing. So pretty much all day, I was lost and confused constantly. But my biggest problem was that I felt like I was the only one lost and confused. Now, our team, they had taken, it was like a new, they'd, you know, constantly changed. So it was a new module thing that they were doing. So they pulled from all kinds of different teams in, and it was this new structure. So some had had some customer service, some had had somewhat similar to it, and some had none, like me. So we were all kind of coming from different places and thrown in together, but nobody seemed to be struggling as bad as I was. Of course, we were all really busy on the phone, so you couldn't really analyze how everybody was doing on the phone because you're sitting there trying to figure it out. But my situation got worse because I just started shutting down. I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't think. And then my health started to, you know, take a hit from the stress. And so as I'm getting worse, I'm shutting down with my health, and then emotionally I'm shutting down because I'm just like, I really don't even understand what this is happening to me and why we're doing this. And I'm looking around and I just cannot understand why nobody else is struggling like me. And comparing, which we'll get to later, is not always a good thing to do. So it took some time to start sorting out your whys, or my whys. And I started to realize many months later, that I had different things in my backpack than they were carrying at that time. So at that time, not only did my department get moved, I had to train the people off location to my job. That's a little harsh. Then I had to watch people leave my job because people were making decisions as what's best for them. So we had some very close friendships. Some left the company, some moved to the New Albany office, some just took different positions that I didn't see anymore. And so you're losing that. And then I lost a coworker that sat right across from me, 33 years old, to cancer. All of this is hitting. I'm trying to process it all. And then I get a medical news from myself that was life-changing. So I had all these things added to my backpack that I didn't think through of why I was struggling so bad. Why was I weighted down so much? And nobody could see that. Nobody knew all these things that had been building up in my life. I had trouble seeing that. I didn't see it. But I was really convinced that they were convinced that I was a wimp. I was dumb. Couldn't figure it out. I thought they're sitting here thinking, what is so difficult about this? And I'm sitting there going, what is so difficult? And I'm saying the same thing. What is so difficult about this? But there were big weights added to my backpack. And I share this to say, I mean, it was a very hard time because it sent me into a trial that lasted forever, I feel like, that was very, 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 very hard. But I share that to say that we don't know the whole story of someone. And so, you know, as we're on this team and we're all experiencing the same thing, given the same commands and the same training and the same whatnot, we're all handling it different. You know, they were coming from different walks of life. One was like maybe 2 years from retirement. She took it pretty harsh and she just quit. She was like, I can't do this. I'm about out of here. This is just crazy. And so everybody had it, you know, we don't quite understand. And so like I felt like they were passing judgment on me because I was constantly like, I don't get this. Can I sit with someone? I don't get this, you know, and they're probably like, oh my word, what is wrong with her again? But you know, we don't understand, and sometimes we're quick to judge, and we don't always understand their struggle. But we don't always need to know. But we can show compassion. So that's what I'm trying to lead on, is I'm trying to learn how to show compassion. You know, and I thought about the story of the Good Samaritan. And there was people that walked by him in the Bible, and they kind of glanced over, and they just walked on. And I don't read where the last one came and said, well, you shouldn't have been on this road by yourself. That's kind of dumb. Well, you shouldn't have had valuables on you. You know, you're going to get robbed. That's kind of dumb. He didn't give him a lecture on why he was in the ditch beat up. It just said he saw to his need and what he needed and took care of him. And so just like, you know, all members of our physical body are important. We don't slam our thumb in the door and be like, well, that was dumb. You got in the way, right? And immediately we go, ow, and our other hand comes over and holds it. And so we need, you know, thinking about trying to come over and just be compassionate to that member that's hurting, right? Hey, how are you doing? Are you okay? You know, is there anything you need? Is how you've been feeling? Or, you know, and you were sick last week. Just showing that you care, you know? You can have all the knowledge in the world. People don't care. But if you can show them that you care about them, that makes a whole world difference. And so a few things have opened our mind or our eyes about some of this stuff is, you know, being a foster parent and doing classes and seeing the history of some of these kids and not knowing the history of some of these kids, you're like, oh my goodness, wow. I mean, I think my home life and how I was raised is the normal. That's how everybody was raised, right? It is not. Wow. You know, there's so much more to their story. And then Chris has been a teacher this last year, and that has been eye-opening. He said, I have some kids that wear the same clothes every day. I have kids that are acting out. I have kids that are not doing your homework, and as a teacher, you probably get frustrated. Like, why won't you just do your homework? And then they're like starting to open up to him. Well, Mr. Miller, I got kicked out. Or I'm living with my grandparents. Or, you know, my dad's a drunk. And there's all these things going on, and they've got different baggage. And then they've got other kids who are reaching out to the parents. Hey, your kid's not going to graduate this year. You really need to work with them. Yeah, we didn't graduate. No big deal. What? So there's so much baggage. If the kid even wants to try, he has no encouragement because they don't even care. And then they had a concert, I think. And they left the school outside, and they left the school open to go in and use the bathroom. and an art project, and the art room got destroyed. It was a parent. They caught it on video, a parent. So I'm like, these kids that we are judging that they're just horrible people and they just have no self-control, there is so much more to their story. So much more to their story. And then we think about ones that are backslidden and they carry unseen added weight. They have things that they've participated in that now they're going to have to struggle with. That they smoked, they're going to have that nagging addiction that they're going to have to work through, or vaped, or drugs, or pornography. Obviously, Christ saves you, who saves you from all of that. It doesn't mean that if you get around it, it's not a trigger. It doesn't mean that if you cuss all the time and someone does it around you, that it's not there wanting to come out. And so there's memories, there's things that they did, there's regret, there's temptations. And, you know, if we see someone struggling, be like, I don't understand why they just keep getting hung up on the same thing over and over. We don't know what's in their backpack. We don't know what they've never shared and that they're battling with. And I do know of a person that had spoken here one time and things they had done in sin. And they said, you don't understand, every day I struggle with this. And I'm like, really? You would have never thought it. Every day, he said, I struggle with this. And so, again, like if you're best friends, you're gonna have disappointments. You're going to have things, and they're going to weigh on you differently. You know, you may be like, mom may say, no, you can't go to that thing. And it might be devastating to you because you really look forward to it. And your sibling or whoever your friend was like, it's not that big of a deal. We'll figure it out and we'll do something later. So everybody carries it differently. If you had a carload of you out somewhere and you all got in a car accident, all four of you that's in the car are going to have something different about it. You know, if it's your side of the car that got hit, it's going to be traumatic, right? If you're the one that got a little whiplash, it's going to be traumatic. If you're the one that back, it was like, it wasn't a big deal. I don't know what they're complaining about. It was not that big of a deal. And, you know, the deer jumped out. We kind of missed it, you know? I mean, we hit a deer and it was on my side. Chris didn't think it was that traumatic. His head was this high from coming in the window. It was very traumatic to me. I was like, just a few more inches and we would have been face to face. So that would have been enlightening. So obviously we experience things differently. We're not made up the same. Even if I talked about us all siblings, we're all from the same bloodline, but we're all genetically built differently. You know, I've said that I have some siblings that are very gung-ho and outspoken, and I'm like, ooh, I wish I could do that. And I have, you know, and then there's others that, well, one, that you don't say much at all, and you're like, wow, okay. So we're all just genetically different, even if we come from the same family. And I think about our pastor, and he does such a great job when he comes to church. He's smiling, and he is showing love. And if we could look in his backpack, we would probably be depressed for life, right? All the weights that he has to carry, all the things that he knows and struggles that people he's trying to work with, things that people set against him, and he's just trying to just overcome and still come and carry a burden and preach. And he's got his own family problems. He's got, you know, his own health issues and how he has, you know, a different backpack as well, way different than us. And there's so much more of a story there. So I wanted to do just a little bit of an illustration before we dismissed. So I'll use Nolan, and I'll use Hannah Presley, and I'll use Courtney. Three backpacks here. Two of them are, I think, identical. All right, so Hannah, can you put this one on?
I was hoping I'd get that one.
I knew you wanted the brown one. Courtney, you get this one. You get that one. So as you can see, they're all a little bit different. You can see Nolan's already getting pulled a little bit. Spoiler alert, he says he has a 20-pound weight in the back. So since things are different, even though Nolan is older and stronger, he's got a bigger weight in his backpack, and it's pulling on his... He carried this around for a while. When Chris put that weight in there, I was like, oh, do you want to carry it to the car? Wow, that makes a difference, right? And then if I handed you a totally empty backpack, you'd be like, "Whoa, wow," right? So we carried that around for a while, and the one is just church books to keep the kid... And it's heavy for some reason. But each of them are different. They all look the same. If you see them, they all got backpacks. They're all smiling at the moment. We take them up on a hike. A few of them might be a little bit just different, right? Then if I brought the other 20-pound weight and added it to that bag, Nolan would probably sit down.
Do it.
I didn't bring it. I was afraid to rip the bag is what I really was afraid to do. So you're going to start feeling, like right now it feels okay, but like I said, you add uphill, you add steps, you add, you know, some other things hanging on you, you know, like just life pulling at you. Should have brought two toddlers in and then try to walk with that. That's super fun. You know, well, this one goes this way and this one goes this way. That's life, though. We need to go over here. Oh, wait, no, we need to do this. Wait, I've got five things I got to do today. And your backpack just keeps getting heavier and heavier and heavier, right? So I hope that when I brought this, I kind of wanted to bring, too, that we don't compare yourself. Like, he could compare and say, well, I mean, I don't know why you guys aren't struggling. Or they could say, "Why, Nolan, why are you acting like it's heavy? I mean, really?" So don't compare yourself. That's been like a big lesson I've been trying to learn. Don't compare yourself. Everybody's backpack is different. And so I hope the next time you're tempted to jump to conclusions about someone, to judge them when you see them walk in with that pebble in their shoe, that they're not just being dramatic. They actually have a pebble in their shoe, right? Maybe someone's cut you off and you want to give them a piece of your mind. Well, maybe they have two kids in the back screaming and they didn't see you. There's the whole story. There's always a whole story there. Or maybe they were just thinking it was their turn and just went. Some of us have battles that others will never know anything about. There are some that we've talked about once they pass away, they tell things about them and you're like, wow, that was impressive, right? Things that we never knew. And then there's some things that you'll just never know, things that the people have went through. And if we aren't careful, then we can add to that backpack if we're like, no, you're such a wimp. And then he's like, okay, now I have to think I'm a wimp. And there's an added weight, right? And so just keep adding to that, and that's not going to help them. And so many, they carry it well. They carry the backpacks well. They hide it well. They're smiling, right? They hide their struggles well. So you think, they don't have problems. They don't have demons they fight. Everybody has problems. Everybody has their demons they fight. So Matthew 22:36-40. Oh, my phone's in one of the backpacks. I think it's this one. No. Okay. Fun fact, I think it's in yours.
Is it a 20-pound phone?
No? All right. Well, we'll just summarize. It's somewhere. I got to find it sometime. Yikes. Anyway, it was talking about the two great commandments was love God with all your heart and then love your neighbor as yourself. Most of us like ourselves pretty good because we at least show that. You know, we take a shower, we wash our hair, and we put on stuff that makes us not stink, right? If we didn't like ourselves, we would be like, I'm coming in, hadn't bathed for 2 months. Bring it on, right? We do care a little bit, right, about ourselves. So love your neighbors, and if you don't love yourself, love them a little bit more than you love yourself then. So tonight, I'm just hoping it brought a different perspective to you, maybe a self-check, and with all the negative in the world, that's what's really kind of drives it. It's just such a struggle to let it not rub off on you. If someone's having a bad day, and they are just filling your ear, next thing you know, why am I so grumpy? Why did I have such a bad day? Well, it rubbed off on you, and then what happens? And you rub off on someone else. And so it's so easy to absorb everybody's hatred and opinions and things that they're wanting to rub off on you. And so, like I said, my goal has been to try to work on myself for compassion and love. Try to see there is so much more to their backpack than what you see here.